You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so as it's Thursday, it's time for the double-header Dream Team edition of the 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Kunzer from Sandon Private Wealth and David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. Nick, last night the Fed came out with their decision and then their after-decision ramble, and I think the markets were slightly surprised by it. I mean, it's nothing too dramatic, but maybe you could give us a sort of timeline between the times that the decision came out and now. What's happened? It's been a little bit of a roller coaster.
It has been, even David. It's been. It was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, they were a little bit surprisingly hawkish. That dot plots indicating what the FOMC think things are going. First rate rise was supposedly 2024. Then it was now it's been brought forward to 2023. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's even a little bit earlier. Yes. Initial reactions were, textbook. Yield spiking, bonds selling off, equities selling off briefly, gold getting absolutely hammered as the dollar index strengthened, all textbook stuff. But then by the end of the session last night, the bottom pickers came in, they pushed the S&P all the way back practically down. Changed. It must be noted that was the only thing that basically bounced back. Short dated bond yields spiked quite aggressively. That 2-year note, if you look at a graph of it, through the roof. Yeah. So the front end of the curve really steepening. And and then there was a press conference, and Mr. Powell does what he normally does, doesn't blink, stares at the camera, and just basically says we're data dependent, but cheekily we kind of not because we're a politician. And basically he said he's looking at inflation. I guess he had to say that because with the biggest increase in inflation in decades, he couldn't say they weren't looking at it because he looked like an idiot. So he said we are looking at inflation, but we don't think it's anywhere. It's just the usual transitory talk, soothe things a little bit. And then this morning, yeah, I think the market's sort of maybe not quite believing the story that maybe inflation is a little bit sticky at the moment. Time will tell. So global stock markets generally dipped. I mean, European government bonds are also down. The dollar, again, textbook strengthening. You saw it blow through 14 to the rand, EM currency. So the best performing emerging currency of 2021, which was the rand, getting a sharp smack, as to be expected. And then we are where we are, a little bit choppy. We have triple witching tomorrow, so markets are extremely volatile. We had JSE close out today, also very volatile. But I think overall, if I can just summarize, and David can give his view as well, I think it was a little bit of a hawkish surprise, I think, yes. A little bit more hawkish. Although the Fed did, I think I thought they behaved as well as could be. But overall, I think watch the space. I think a little bit. I think the hawkish surprise more than the dovish surprise, which I thought was a little bit surprising.
I thought it was interesting that he said he mentioned two things: unemployment and inflation. So on the one hand, he's got to control unemployment, in other words, stimulate the economy. On the other hand, he's got to control inflation, in other words, tighten monetary policy in order to keep it in check. So that's a very difficult balancing act, David.
Oh yeah. You know, he's always said that. I've always said, you know, that he said that until we get back, till everybody's got a job. And it's a very complicated issue as he went through it, as he has been explaining. A lot of jobs that people had are not there anymore. And the new jobs which they have to train for or they're not quite ready to take. And there's still issues surrounding stay at home and work at home, problems. But what I got out of it, Lindsay, and I think the positive, and I really mean a positive, yes, even though it might be negative for the market, is the effect of the vaccines, just how effective it's been in bringing people out. And, no one expected this a few months ago with America almost, or certainly places like New York, 70% vaccinated. It's changed the whole complex and it's almost back to normal. So you're going to get, I think, a lot more happening, the recovery a lot quicker than perhaps they originally expected. So from my point of view, I think from a global point, you know, you should start to push that point. Get vaccinated. Look what's happened to the U.S.
Yes.
And, you know what I mean? I think it's a very important element, and you can sense it. You know why I say sense it? You can talk to my daughter, you can talk to people in America how it's just swung the economy around. You know, New York pumping now, people going out soon, the theaters will open and Broadway will be open again, and so on. So I think it's a message to go out that get vaccinated, you know, do it properly, and this is what happens.
I don't think that your bet is, I mean, it's not cast in stone, but I think you've won the bet. And I've been looking at flights today, David, because if you book them 6 or 7 months in advance, and there's one via Belarus, which I quite like.
Well, that sounds like a winner.
it's a little bit cheaper than most. Okay, so we're not going to see embedded inflation. We are going to see that horrible word that Nick hates, transitory, and then over to you, Nick. No chance in the next 6 months of a rate rise, I wouldn't have thought.
I tell you what, I'm on the, yeah, so probably not, but I don't think it's 100%. You know, I would, if we get another print, another sort of, if we get another CPI number next month,
yeah,
that is anywhere between 3.5% and 5%, or even worse, then I think the next chance is Jackson Hole, which I think is September, October. Then you might very well get another comment coming out. I don't know. Look, the Fed have always said data dependent, and I do. Look, and this is a completely, like, I want the markets to go up. We all do. We know we're brokers, we're money managers. We don't like markets going down. We need low rates. They're good for the markets.
Yes.
But I just think that it's becoming more and more prevalent that maybe inflation is not transitory. I mean, look at that European number. Was it this morning or yesterday? Or the British number came out 2.2 or 2.3% inflation. They expected 1.5. I mean, it's right through the Bank of England's band. And they also coming out now going, oh, it's a one-off. We're getting more and more things around the world where it's not a one-off. So, but I will say this, and I think it's a really tough job. I mean, who would want to be a central banker at this time? Because, you know, the inflation is above target. We know that. Unemployment is below target, as David's pointed out. Asset prices are sitting at all-time high around the world. European indexes all-time high on Wednesday. S&P 500 all-time high last week. You've got, you know, the officials, the central bankers, I mean, their job is to get monetary policy right, is obviously to optimize jobs, prices. You've got real estate values also like spiking as well. There's slight risks. I think it's a tough job at being a central banker at the moment.
They've got no playbook. There's nothing.
But the one playbook, David, is they're going to have to exit. You can't keep $120 billion a month every month when you're growing at 6.5% GDP growth, and your 10-year note is artificially at 1.5%. It should be 3.5%, which is not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem you've got now, and I saw the Swiss National Bank. I mean, it was the size of their balance sheet. I mean, they make most hedge funds look like a walk in the park. It's I don't know how these central banks do the next thing. How do they exit now? They've painted themselves into a corner, and it's a real balancing act. But I will say this: I do think the Fed did an okay job last night, actually.
And aren't they tapering from September, Nick? Wasn't that one of the things that they said? They're starting to taper off. In other words, quantitative tightening, albeit on a very, very small scale compared to the quantitative easing. They're starting to say, well, we're not going to stop buying bonds, but we're not going to buy 120, 130 billion every month. I think that's what happened, wasn't it? Is that one of the things he said?
Yeah, it was. But, you know, always the go-to for me is always the bond deals. You know, take a look at the clever money. They haven't really responded to this blowout inflation data. They've been quite sanguine. In fact, you know, 1.5, they hardly budged yesterday. Yes, the 2-year ran up quite high and the 5-year was a bit of a spike. The 10-year hardly budged. So I do think there's a little bit of stability in that respect as well. So I think overall, markets did kind of behave themselves. I mean, look at the S&Ps now.
I want to bring up something as well.
Yeah.
You know, with rates going up, they talk about the present value of future earnings. You know, of course, as interest rates go up, you have to discount them back at now at a higher rate. And therefore, all those companies that are not earning anything, mainly the tech companies, would be under pressure. So there's always been, whenever there's been a threat of interest rates going up, it's the banks that pick up because they're going to improve their lending margins, and it's the tech companies that come down. Well, today, Shopify is up 7%, Nvidia's up 4%, AMD, the semiconductor company, 4%, PayPal. So, I mean,
And then JP Morgan, I think JP Morgan down about 25% from its highs, especially in a bear market.
It's very strange,
David's spot on. I mean, the Nasdaq effectively shrugging off anything that the Fed said on the hawkish Fed.
But I think what, from our point of view and coming back, Lindsay, you're going to ask Nick to give you the commodity prices. They were slaughtered.
I've got them on the tip of my tongue now because I want to go to the spot prices.
That includes all your CBE numbers, you know, all of those. It's not only the metals, but also all the softs as well, just taken down.
Did you see Wayne McCurry's Twitter? He said this is the end of the commodity cycle. The trend has been in place for a month now. He's called it for the last month. He said that the commodities...
Yeah, he has done.
Whether he's right or not, I don't know. I think it's just a blip personally. But anyway, let's have a look at the carnage on the commodities markets at the moment. But I'll give you currencies first. The Rand, goodness me, everyone calling it down to 10, 11, 12. Now it's 14.10, 2.5%. Where have I seen this story before? I think the French call it deja vu. A British pound against the rand is 1965. Euro rand is 1682. Euro dollar 1.1930. That's the big one. 1.6% higher for the US dollar. And the pound 1.3940 against the US dollar. And here comes the interesting stuff, as referenced by David Shapiro. Gold price in 24 hours down $77 an ounce to $1777. The platinum price down $68 an ounce to $10.80. And palladium, I've got it down on my screen, Nick. $202 an ounce or 7.25%.
I'll take those $202.
Go on.
$246 the real time price, down 8.83%. It really is a absolute slaughtering. And if I look at some of the other stuff too, like rolled steel down 4%, COMEX gold, obviously you mentioned that, down 80%. And also looking at the price of COMEX copper, that down 4% too. I wonder if also some of it to do while we're on this topic. There was a statement out by the Chinese saying that they were going, worried about speculation and they were going to release their version of strategic industrial commodities. So same like the Americans hoard oil, the Chinese store, I guess, iron ore and copper and that and the like. And they said they were tired of effectively the speculation happening and the higher prices. They were going to literally, open up the taps. I wonder if there's a little bit of that too.
It's something that came out yesterday. I thought it would be the reaction would be yesterday, but it wasn't. It's like a bit of a delayed reaction, but I mean the numbers are coming down quite dramatically, and if you look at shares as well, have taken an almighty knock. I'm just trying to pick up some of the commodity charts here, just on my screen, because I mean this is platinum is a major break, and this is the one that we all liked and believed, was a clean metal that would be where there was still supply.
Do you know also, David? I was going to say exactly what you're going to – sorry to interrupt you. I was going to say exactly that we're effectively the supply. We've been told that there's a deficit of platinum for 2022. So, I mean, the kind of supply in the old-fashioned maths kind of made sense.
Yeah. So platinum, which at the end of February was like 1255, 1260 is now down to – where is it? 1050 or something. I don't know where it's taken. And I had it. I'm just looking where I had it on palladium, 1088.
Platinum 1075 and palladium 2550. But considering it was almost going to break 3000 at one point, that's almost a $500 reversal. That's a big move.
Even crude oil is suffering. West Texas is down not too badly, but 0.6% to $71.69. And Brent crude oil, $73.83, down 0.75%. So a perfect storm for South Africa. All the good stuff that we produce is getting absolutely clobbered.
But while you're referring to South Africa, the good thing about South Africa the last few months has been this higher oil price, higher commodities, and a stronger rand.
Yes.
The rand blowing out past 14 is not a good story.
It's not a good story at all. US 10-year Treasury spiked up to 158 after the Fed last night, now back to 152.5. The South African 10-year broke 9% at one stage, now back to 8.92%. Bitcoin Do you know what? I got a message from a friend of mine who's a store manager in...
Part-time crypto trader.
Yeah, she said, sorry, I can't talk at the moment, Lindsay. I'm buying cryptos. She said, I've already got Bitcoin and buying some other ones. I said, just please be careful. Anyway, Bitcoin, 38,000. I said with a smirk on my face, 38,700. No, 38,813, which is flat on the day. CRB commodity, the index, they only update it once a day. Tomorrow morning, it's going to threaten that big bull market that's been in place now for 14, 15 months. S&P futures, I've got 42.11, which is flat on the day, Nick. It was looking as though it was going to fall over yesterday, but it's manfully up there again.
So a pinch of, Powell say a pinch of salt? So a pinch of salt for me today is triple witching tomorrow, futures close out. It's a big, big, big day for expiration. Typically, as you've seen of recent, there's been a lot of upside call buying. So until those go out the way tomorrow, I think it's lunchtime, US time tomorrow, expect this market to kind of grudge sideways to up until those options expire. There's some big expiry this month.
Okay, well, watch out for that.
We had a big day, Nick. I mean, I'm just looking at the volume, one, hey? 70 billion.
Who else has saw that?
That's the biggest ever, I think. $70 billion, if that's the volume. That's the biggest ever, yeah. I think, isn't it?
I don't know. I just made it the
lowest. Must be close to a record.
I think so.
It's a huge, and it's all MassPers and Prosus and all the index players, yes. BHP and so on. So yeah.
I hope no one's getting out of SA off the run we've had.
I don't know. I can't read it.
That's such a good run.
Yeah, but I can't understand.
And the Rand blowing through 14. Maybe triggering a few stops overseas. You're thinking, shoot, so 1365, I was loving my SA Inc. At 1410, maybe not.
Okay, let's have a look at the movers on the JSE given the futures closeout. I've got on my screen Bidcorp at the top of the leaderboard up 4.5%, Aspen up 4.25%, Naspers up 2.8%, Cap 2.4% higher, and Prosus up 2.3%.
Come on, you little dancer.
Go on, Cap. There we go.
Go on, Cap.
Okay.
three rand to go. Come on.
DRD Gold down 7.6%, Liberty Holdings down 6.75%, Goldfields down 6.4%, Sibanye Stillwater down 6.1%, Impala Platinum down 4.25%. Yeah, no, really nasty. Hopefully it'll calm down a bit after the meltdown in commodities and after the futures close out. But I think tomorrow might be key. You know, I mean, if it reinforces this trend, then we could be in for something that, as we spoke about earlier, that Wayne McCary has been calling for a month now, i.e. the end of something that has become our friend, David.
Yeah, I've got to be, you know, I'm on your side. I thought that with the global economy improving, with the, you know, with these breakouts, I mean breakouts, you know, people now spending a lot more, I thought that we'd get an upward move in commodities. I thought they'd hold. But you know, it's one of those markets that you never get on top of, and all credit to Wayne, because I wasn't smirking at him. I just thought, no, maybe Wayne, you know, you've been spending too much time fixing motor cars. Just focus on markets.
Too
for
much
Wayne.
Time under the hood.
He's under the hood, you know, kind of getting all greased up, and then I think, nah, you're going to get this one wrong. But he was right, you know, and just felt. I didn't get that feeling. I just got a feeling that we were going to get a run. I don't know. It's we'll see. But I think what's worrying me, I don't mind the commodity prices. What's worrying me is the share prices have rolled over, and they're the ones that are pointing to the weakness, having pointed to strength last year. You know, they led us up. They gave us an indication that commodity prices were going to pick up, and now it's going the other way. So. I find that a bit of a concern.
I do too. What is concerning is that in 4 minutes' time, you've got to leave our conversation, David, because you're slinking off with your tail
soul
between.
Soul.
Yeah, with your.
I've got to go do my makeup.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to do your makeup. And trust me, you're going to have to do a lot of filling.
Better leave now.
Fill those cracks in, yeah. No, but David, seriously, give us something to think about before our next chat.
I just
chat
looked at
on
Aspen,
Monday.
Hey?
Yeah, Aspen.
Yeah, it's trading nicely, huh?
170.
And you know what? You know what's interesting, Lindsay, is that the chart is a steady climber.
Yeah.
You know, from those very lows that we've seen. So it's building up. Quite a nice, you know, technically, it's looking good. So, you know, it's not one that's spiked away and is likely to come back and retrace. It just creeping up all the time as the news improves. So, yes. Have a look at it. I like the company. I like Stephen Sard, but I never believed we'd get beyond maybe 140-ish or thereabouts. And, technically it's pointing in the right direction. So it's worth having a closer look there. Mm.
Very good. David, off you go and go on to the TV show, which I'm sure you will illuminate. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. And I'm going to stay with Nick Kunze now. Nick, we can have a proper chat now that the media,
Nick, you know.
No. This is a financial show. Come on.
That's okay, David Shapiro from Sasfin. Nick, just give us the closing indices after a monster day volume-wise.
Monster day. Can I just, before we get on to that, just want to one interjection there. David referred to before when we were chatting about the soft commodities, the CRB index.
Yeah.
Just give you some of the movements on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange as we speak. We have wheat down 1.5%. We have corn down 3%. We have soybean oil down 6%, almost limit down. Rapeseed oil down 2.61%, canola oil down 3%, lumber, which has been the headlines for the upside, now on the downside, down 5%, lumber down 52% now in the last month.
Yeah.
So some real significant moves in that soft commodity space. Anyway, closer to home.
And lumber today down 5%, by the way, which adds to the massive bear market that it's suddenly gone into after a gargantuan bull market. Yeah, lean hogs down 2.3%. I mean, there's so much on my screen. Off you go, Nick.
Trying to put all these things into the pot. It's just and figure out what to do, which is becoming more complicated. Anyway, as you said, closer to home, JSC today, a bit of a tough day on futures closeout. Not if you're a JSC shareholder, though, with that volume. But JSC All Share down 1.08%, 725 points down. Top 40 Companies Index also 1.08%, loser 661 points down. On the downside, we were led lower by industrials down 1.25%. Financials had a tough day with this rand, 2.25% weaker. Energy shares 2.48% down. Basic materials 2.6%, also a tough session. Utilities down 2.8%. There were a couple of pockets of strength. Technology shares up 2%, but that'll be your NUSPAs, which finished up 2.79% off that weaker RAM. So a good day for tech shares. And healthcare up 1.85%, and that'll be your Aspen. Volume trader, just repeat what we said earlier, monster day. Biggest one I can remember in years.
Yes.
70.2 billion Rand value traded on the JSE today.
That is an all-time record high. I'm reliably informed. But anyway, if you convert it to dollars, maybe in dollar terms as well. I don't know. But anyway, really, really good day. Mm. Is it good or is it bad because the markets are on the downside? I don't know.
You want to see this volume down 1%? I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing, personally.
No, nor do I. Testing times, having been looking a week ago with the rand at 13.45, suddenly the rand at 14.10, 14.11, and commodity prices jumping off a cliff today. I hope it's just a moment in time. Nick Kunze is from Sandon Private Wealth. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.